Right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program Nate Cardozo. He's a staff attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and we've invited Nate here to talk about some of the fallout that is up for debate following the Paris attacks. And Nate, thank you so much for making the time to come on the program tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
I thought we'd briefly give you a chance to talk a little bit about the work you do at the Electronic Frontier Foundation before we get into our topic this evening.
Sure thing. The Electronic Frontier Foundation is a digital nonprofit based in San Francisco. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary, which in internet years is a good long time at this point. And we protect free speech and privacy, as well as the rights to innovation. And we protect coders and journalists and academics and people just like yourself. We make sure that your constitutional rights follow you when you come on the internet.
Thank you for that. You guys do some important and great work there. So I'm happy to be able to talk with you tonight about this important topic, which is that after the tragic Paris terrorist attacks that killed 130, wounded over 350 others, there's been many calls by politicians, as well as U.S. officials and conservative pundits, to reverse course on reforms to mass surveillance in this country. There's been one call to delay enactment of the USA Freedom Act that imposed several rather weak restrictions on U.S. intelligence agencies' warrantless bulk collection of phone metadata. And others have blamed NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden for his revelations about illegal government surveillance as an impediment to preventing terrorist attacks such as we saw tragically unfold in Paris. I wanted, before we get to some of the specific proposals that are being debated here, I wanted to get your reaction to the general thrust of some people in the United States that are of the mind that reforms and rolling back some of the violations of constitutional rights and privacy was a big mistake, and Paris is the proof.
You know, the calls that we've seen from CIA Director Brennan, from NYPD Commissioner Bratton, and even from the likes of Hillary Clinton and John McCain in the wake of the Paris attacks are, you know, cynical politics at their absolute worst. The Paris attacks were planned using Facebook and unsecured SMS messaging, using unsecured phones. They literally had nothing to do with encryption. At least one, and we think more of the attackers were known to European intelligence services. So to see, you know, CIA Director Brennan come out in the wake of the Paris attacks and claim that this is proof that Snowden had something, you know, is to blame for this, or that encryption is somehow to blame, is cynical and frankly disgusting. Use of opportunism here. You know, what happened in Paris was is a tragedy of at a global scale. What happened there was, you know, the absolute worst of humanity expressing itself, but not using encryption, not using, you know, any techniques that they learned from the Snowden revelations. This was you know, a terror cell based in Belgium who executed an attack using the same techniques that terrorists have been using for a long time. And increased surveillance would not have helped. Encryption backdoors would not have helped. And to see our own democratic government claiming that, you know, in the wake of the Paris attacks, encryption backdoors or increased surveillance powers are necessary is sad. Because, you know, the facts on the ground as we see them show that it was an old-fashioned intelligence failure, which led to the Paris attacks. It may have even been too much information. That's one of the key takeaways from our perspective, from the Snowden revelations, is that the NSA and its partners around the world are drowning in information. It's not a lack of information. It's a lack of manpower and human intelligence to put two and two together. You know, right now, they're intercepting everything, and they're able to see it if there were just eyes to read it. So, to see encryption or Snowden blamed for the tragedy in Paris is itself a tragedy.
Thank you for that, Nate. I wondered if we'd talk a little bit about the USA Freedom Act. As I understand it, restrictions under the USA Freedom Act passed by Congress and signed into law by President Obama last spring will end government collection of bulk phone metadata on November 29th. In response to the Paris attacks, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas has put forward a bill that would delay implementation of the USA Freedom Act. And he's titled this legislation the Liberty Through Strength Act. I wondered if
you love these acronyms.
Respond to Tom Cotton and his allies that are trying to delay implementation of the USA Freedom Act, which was passed by Congress in a bipartisan way overwhelmingly.
And was supported by the Director of National Intelligence. You know, the NSA has said that they don't need the bulk telephone metadata collection program anymore. In the entire operation of the program from late 2001 to today, according to the NSA's own testimony to both the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, that program stopped a single terror activity within the United States. And it wasn't an attack. It was a San Diego cab driver transferring $8,500 to Al-Shabaab in Somalia. So all of our constitutional rights have been invaded since late 2001, early 2002. And for what gain? We stopped $8,500 making it to Al-Shabaab. Luckily, Mr. Cotton, Representative Cotton's proposal to push back the implementation of USA Freedom until after the next election. Our intelligence on the Hill says that that's not going anywhere. The NSA itself has no interest in delaying the implementation of USA Freedom. They're ready to roll out at the end of this month. And it's our firm belief that that is going to happen. But just to talk about USA Freedom, as you said, those are the restrictions that are placed on the NSA by USA Freedom are quite minimal. But at the same time, they are the first restrictions on NSA power that Congress has passed since I've been alive, since 1978. When the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was passed. So, yeah, USA Freedom doesn't do that much, but it does something to restrict the NSA's unconstitutional powers. And getting something done to rein in the NSA what was in and of itself an achievement.
We have CIA Director John Brennan and FBI Director James Comey basically telling the public in the wake of the Paris attacks that they really have to make a choice between liberty and security. And I'm wondering what you think their motivation is, particularly given the fact that whatever reforms are in place or are in the pipeline, really by many experts in these agencies' view, is not going to impede the collection of important data to prevent future terrorist attacks.
So I think liberty versus privacy or liberty versus security is a false dichotomy. And what we're really talking about is security versus the security services. Encryption keeps us all safe. Human Rights Watch released a statement today. The General Counsel of Human Rights Watch, Dina Pokemper, released a statement saying that her field workers on the ground in the Middle East, in South Asia and in Southeast Asia, as well as in the Horn of Africa, couldn't do their jobs without strong encryption. Encryption saves lives, and the security that end-to-end encryption and at-rest device encryption provides is critical for the modern business environment. We saw Cyrus Vance, the district attorney of New York County in Manhattan, last week call for Apple and Google to backdoor the storage on iPhones and on Android devices so that the New York City DA could get access to that data. But if Apple and Google backdoor device storage, companies like Raytheon and Boeing and Lockheed Martin, to say nothing of General Mills or Con Edison, couldn't use the devices anymore because they'd be susceptible to industrial espionage. American businesses, human rights workers around the world, all depend on encryption, and it's that business angle that we think is really missing in the debate when we hear Director Comey or Director Brennan call for the companies to backdoor their own products. We're not sure they realize the critical impact that those backdoors would have on American businesses' ability to compete internationally, and on human rights, humanitarian, and aid workers all around the world, to say nothing of property crime, organized crime, and theft here in the United States.
Well, Nate, when it comes to encryption, tell our listeners a bit about the encryption that is now available very easily to consumers when they send messages back and forth, or, as you said, at a higher level in corporate communications. What is the danger, as described by some of these law enforcement officials, about terrorists using this type of encryption to go dark, as it's put, and plan terrorist attacks in the future that would be sort of below the radar of all the apparatus of surveillance that has been set up?
Well, the encryption that modern technology provides is very difficult to break. In Apple devices, iMessage is encrypted by default. In Google devices, at least in their flagship phones, the storage is encrypted by default. And what that means is, if there's a bad guy on the network, or if your device gets stolen, only you can unlock the files, or only you can decrypt the messages that are being sent. And that is a change over the way messaging used to work. But it's critical that the companies provide those tools, because computers have gotten really, really, really fast. And the sorts of encryption that were sufficient 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or even 2 years ago are getting to be nearly trivial to break. For instance, encrypted Wi-Fi communications, password-protected Wi-Fi networks, I could break with a free software product in about an hour, and that's not the kind of security that anyone should have to put up with anymore. But yet, that's the kind of security that the FBI says is sufficient. So, end-to-end encryption exists. It's here to stay, and there's nothing anyone can do about that fact. The flagship email encryption program hasn't changed since the late 90s. It's called PGP, which is short for Pretty Good Privacy, and it's the main method of encrypting emails. Hasn't changed since 1996 or something like that, and it's not going anywhere. It's open source. Anyone can download it. Anyone can change it, compile it themselves, use it on any platform. And even if Apple or Google backdoored their products and created a key for law enforcement to use, the real bad guys, the people that we're worried about, would just go back to using something like PGP, or, you know, download a Russian app or a Chinese app or an Iranian app to do the same thing. So the backdoors that Comey and Brennan are asking for would be affecting you and me more than they would affect terrorists. And what they would really enable, what a backdoor into iMessage or a backdoor into Google's encrypted storage would enable, is not intelligence activities into terrorism or into ISIS. It wouldn't be investigations into organized crime or organized pedophile rings. It would enable mass surveillance, the kind of surveillance that we saw Edward Snowden reveal back in 2013. That's why they want it. The NSA's self self-described position right now is collect it all. The NSA views its goal as reading everything. Obviously not human beings. They don't have people reading all of our emails. But there are computers searching every email that goes across the wire. And they're searching it for terrorism, for whatever else they're doing. And encryption will make it more difficult for them to look at everything all the time. Fortunately for us and unfortunately for the NSA, that's what the Constitution requires, right? The Fourth Amendment says that law enforcement and intelligence agencies can't look at my email or your email without a warrant based on probable cause and describing the places or items to be searched with particularity. That's the way our constitutional system works. And that's the playing ground that encryption returns us to. You know, we're in a golden age of surveillance. There is more electronic data about you and me and about everyone listening available online than has ever been the case. And the encryption takes a little bit of that back off the table and returns us to essentially where we were in terms of law enforcement or intelligence agencies' power maybe 10 years ago.
Well, thank you for that, Nate. We're speaking with Nate Cardozo. He's a staff attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We're talking about the post-Paris attack debate in the United States about surveillance and its place in our society, about surveillance, mass surveillance, warrantless surveillance, and its ability to stop future terrorist attacks. Nate, I wonder what you make of the attacks on Edward Snowden as a target in this post-Paris attack environment where people are looking for somebody to blame, scapegoats. In what way, if any, is Edward Snowden and his revelations about massive U.S. surveillance that he divulged to the world back in 2013, is there any conceivable way that Edward Snowden and what he talked about is enabling terrorism to flourish in any way, shape, or form?
Absolutely not. You know, one of the key takeaways that we at the Electronic Frontier Foundation had from the Snowden revelations is that there are some products that are still safe from mass surveillance. The biggest one of them being Apple's iMessage. But if you look at the ISIS guide to communications, ISIS thinks that Apple's system is already backdoored, and they advise their agents to avoid anything from Apple and to instead use their homegrown encryption software, which is called Mujahideen Secrets. I think they're on version 2.0 at this point, instead of Apple. If I had to guess, and this is just speculation, but if I had to guess, you know, the NSA loves that advice because Apple isn't backdoored, and we know for a fact that ISIL or ISIS doesn't have world-class cryptographers on staff, and it's very difficult to implement a secure cryptography system. So if I had to guess, the NSA has probably already cracked Mujahideen Secrets. So if anything, the Snowden revelations has pushed ISIS off of something that would actually be secure for them and instead has pushed them to their own homegrown encryption system, which the chances of being secure are slim to none. So in terms of Snowden's responsibility for Paris, that's just pure political cynicism on the part of Director Brennan.
Well, Nate, I wanted to get to something you touched on earlier, and that is there a problem with the lack of authority to obtain necessary surveillance information, or is the problem the inability to sort through the mountains, the literal mountains of information that's already been collected in order to predict and stop future terrorist attacks?
Well, former NSA Director Michael Hayden, I think, put it very well. The from an intelligence agency perspective, they don't really care much about what people are saying. They care about when they're saying it, where they're saying it, and who they're saying it to. And encryption doesn't mask any of those things. It only masks the what. It doesn't mask the who, it doesn't mask the where, and it doesn't mask the when. And what Hayden said, which I find troubling for a different reason, but for these purposes, I think it's illuminating, is we kill people based on metadata. The drone strikes that the U.S. government operates in Yemen, in Pakistan, in Sudan, are in large part, possibly in the majority, although you know only the CIA knows this, but are at least in large part based solely on the metadata that's being collected overseas. The actual content of the communications are almost irrelevant. So from the CIA's perspective and from the NSA's perspective, metadata is plenty, and that's all still available.
Well, Nate, just a final question here, and this relates to U.S. politics. Fear is a very powerful tool in politics. And we have a U.S. presidential election ongoing where we've seen some very ugly sides of our politicians. And I assume in their appeal to certain constituencies, they have attacked Syrian refugees as well as attacked an entire religion in order to gain political points. When it comes to surveillance, what are your concerns about where this current electoral campaign could push debate and possibly eventually new legislation in Congress when it comes to surveillance and maybe going backwards in the years-long effort to reform the system of warrantless bulk surveillance of the United States population?
That would be really disappointing if that happened. The thing that makes this country unique is our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. That's, those freedoms are ones that the framers of our Constitution and the founders of this nation felt to be so critically important that they wrote it into our founding document. The Fourth Amendment's job is to make law enforcement's work harder, not easier. We as a society, more than 200 years ago, decided that it was important that we live in a free nation. And it was more important that we lived in a free nation than it was for law enforcement to have a free hand. And that balance that we struck in 1789 holds true today. We see the French intelligence service as a good counterexample. In France, there is no equivalent of the Fourth Amendment, and the French intelligence services are more or less free to surveil French citizens without a warrant. And that did nothing to stop the attacks in Paris. Our founding documents and the core tenets of our nation are that we are a nation of laws and we're a nation of rights. And the rights are the rights that you and I hold against the government. And if we want to keep being a free nation and a nation of laws, it's important that we protect those rights. And it's important that we defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. We saw from the Snowden revelations that after 9/11, the NSA was unleashed by the Bush administration. And between 2001 and 2004, it conducted warrantless surveillance of all Americans without even a court order from the FISA court. And it was only in 2004 that they went and got the very first order sort of papering over the illegal surveillance that they'd been conducting for years. To see a return to that, even in the face of the truth, which is encryption wasn't used in Paris, mass surveillance existed and still didn't catch the attacks there, to use Paris as an excuse for more surveillance or backdoors and encryption would be a tragedy.
Well said, Nate. Thank you so much for spending time with us. And your website has a lot of very valuable information. I go to it frequently. But if you could leave the website address and mention any of the resources there, that would be a big help as we conclude here tonight.
Sure thing. You can find the Electronic Frontier Foundation online at EFF.org. And I think the one resource that I'll mention specifically is we have a surveillance self-defense guide. And we've tailored it for a number of different audiences, for journalists, for human rights workers, for academics. It's available in a number of different languages. It's more than five, I think, at this point. And it's at SSD, for Surveillance Self-Defense, .EFF.org. So SSD.EFF.org. And you can read guides there on how to make sure that you have device encryption on when you travel abroad, and how to do threat modeling and how to use encrypted email or the like. So ssd.eff.org, learn to protect yourself from mass surveillance.
Well, thank you, Nate. Been able to share a lot of important information with our audience tonight, so appreciate that, and we'll look forward to our next conversation. Thanks so much.
Excellent. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye. That's Nate Cardozo, staff attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, talking about the national debate that's erupted here in the United States after the Paris attacks, about some conservative and right-word politicians, officials, and pundits saying that we have to reverse any efforts to reform the surveillance system that earlier under George W. Bush and under Barack Obama put forward this mass bulk warrantless surveillance system. There have been some minor reforms, and those folks are looking to turn those back.